Hello and welcome back to the CGW podcast. This is the April 3rd podcast.
Fourth.
I already got it wrong. It's the April 4th podcast here. And speaking on mic this time was our engineer, Scott Asenot, who this week has a mic.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if I like it. Behave yourself, young man.
It's kind of like the teacher is now officially in class.
Yes.
Okay. Along with the teacher, we have the usual gang of idiots, which include...
Ryan Scott.
Sean Elliott.
And Darren Gladstone.
Yeah, and here we are in the 24th consecutive day of rain here in San Francisco, I think.
25th.
Don't show him that.
Okay.
No. This is, you just read away, boy.
We got anarchy happening here in the podcast.
Okay. I owe this to Scott because last time I made fun of his name. His last name is not, in fact, Asnut. It is Asnault. Correct?
Not. Close enough.
Okay. Wait, what was it?
It wasn't. It's not Asnut.
No.
Anyway, so as payback, I got to read this.
Okay.
So, I could say so much to insult Darren, but that would be too easy. Say things about his heritage and his ancestors, but, well, he must be punished. He must be punished, though. You see, Darren is a putz, a large one. there are days when he not such a large putz, but many. Here is the punishment.
What's the deal? He can't write or you can't read?
No.
It's probably both. I missed a key.
Okay. There are days when you're not such a large plus, but here's his punishment. I must insert the random phrases. Okay, you know what? Okay, I have to read the random phrases.
You have to yes.
Okay. Okay, so basically, I guess you have no idea what my special brand of idiocy is going to be, or if it's Scott.
Okay. Don't show him.
I don't understand any of
I don't get what's going on either.
We're 3 minutes in and we're
wow, we just killed
deep
time.
Into the gobbledygook.
Okay, onto the show. Onto the actual.
Believe it or not, we're recording this sober.
Yeah, that's the funny part of all this is that, you know, we're not altered in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Though if we switch the podcast time to Fridays at 4 or something, I'm thinking we don't have to be sober.
Otherwise, it's going to read like All-Star Superman issue number 3 without Samson in the time cart.
Sean's been wanting to say that for the last 15
Man,
minutes.
Man, inside jokes from hell.
Wow.
This might as well be CGW happy hour.
Okay. Clearly, this week's podcast has no theme. No structure. Maybe we should just stop and start over. No?
That's entirely up to you.
No, let's not do that. We'll keep going. Hopefully people are still listening. I was trying to say, when you guys got off on your whole weird whatever that was.
I don't know what
it is. It's been raining for a month now.
Yeah.
So we have no excuse except to be playing games all day. Well, other than Ryan, who's making the magazine. So before we get into the real issues, I know Darren actually has an agenda here.
Not a real agenda, just some quick notes of things going on.
Okay, but what are we playing? Is anybody playing anything besides Oblivion?
No. Same old shit we talked about.
Well, no, actually, after what you said last week, I went back and started playing Godfather, figured I'd give it a fair shot.
Yeah.
And one thing I guess we failed to mention last week, which it was painfully obvious on the PC version, is that it's a port from the PS2.
Right.
And the 360 version is coming out, what, in July?
Yeah.
I'd almost rather have waited to see that version and get that port.
Yeah, that's actually
almost or entirely. I mean, what part of you thinks that it was rad to get the PS2 version?
Well, I think the only part
the
that
dumb
was
part.
The dumb part of me. the half-baked part of me.
Yeah, actually, I'm over at Godfather now after talking about it last week.
You played Oblivion.
Yeah, Oblivion
you
rules.
You were slumming in between release dates.
I was slumming. As soon as I got Oblivion, it was all over with Godfather.
Didn't you have like a 25-hour marathon this weekend
I did. The wife was blissfully out of town, and so I was able to play Oblivion nonstop because that's the kind of wacky guy I am when I'm single. And that game is awesome.
What do you find yourself doing a lot, like most in the game?
Well, what I keep doing, because I can't help it, is I keep doing the random quests of people who, you know, accost me along the way. Like, I thought I would just try to blaze through the main quest, but I feel too much like when all these people ask for my help, I get too do-gooderly about it, you know? I don't want to leave them in the lurch. So I've been out hunting vampires for this one group of people, which is fun. But I keep thinking I'm going to get back to the main quest, and then I don't. But the cool thing about this game is I guess it waits for you, right? Like, you could, you know, even though time is elapsing in the game, you're not getting penalized by not going back to the main quest. It's just a matter of the monsters will ramp up with you, right?
Right. All the quests go on hold when you don't do them. But on the same note of what you're talking about, is one of the problems I have with the game is that at first, like you, I was doing all those side missions. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, ultimately, what I'm doing is building up my character so that when I go back, when I do return in the main mission, it's going to be that much easier for me. But
right.
Of course, it turns out it's not. And when I realized that, I mean, when I experienced that by actually going back to a main mission and seeing that I was, you know, underpowered as ever and that the monsters had leveled up, at that point, that's exactly when I stopped doing all the side missions and just started doing the main mission.
That's so different from, like, every other game, really, where that would exactly be your strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I do in WoW, even. Like, well, this is too hard. I'm going to level up for a while, come back and do it when it's easier. But now that just doesn't even exist in this game.
Right. Yeah, it's the one of the losses I have. I mean, it sounds like some people are about to defend it, but one of the losses for me is that you can't go throughout the world and go to some really rare, you know, dangerous and exotic area where the creatures are going to be much different. It's kind of like you decide, I'm going to run through here just to see what the sights look like. But
yeah,
there aren't really those places because the whole world ramps up in unison.
So is the whole world basically at your level then?
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of weird. You're right. So you can't go to, like, the Uber area just to see how fast you die, or just, you know.
There are grades in that. They're not marked at precisely the same level. So it's like if you're 14, everything will be 14 or above. So you might run up to stuff that's like, you know, up to 17 or things like that, and some that will be lower as well. You know, you'll still run into the odd crab or something.
But not something that's 20 levels higher.
Yeah, you're not going to slip through some area that's completely beyond your ability.
Also, you know, what we were talking about yesterday, when I was playing last night, I still felt the same way about this notion of the game really kind of prevents you from being one, especially if you're a spellcaster or a hunter type, of actually dedicating yourself to that class specifically. Like, in other words, that you have to do melee. This game makes you do melee, whether you like it or not, melee fighting. And if you try to just be a spellcaster, you're just going to get your ass handed to you.
Right. I mean, I think there are ways around it, but they're definitely impediments. Because we were saying, unlike a multiplayer game where you're the archer and you're the guy who gets to hang back in a group of people where the tanks are aggroing up front, those guys aren't there. So if you once you hit someone with the arrow, you're going to be running backwards and shooting them. And in a game that's dungeon-based, a lot of times you're in a dungeon, and you're basically running backwards through a maze, there's only so much archery you can do. So it's going to come a point when you need to break out the sword or the mace or the hammer and start swinging away with that.
Right. Yeah. So I thought I was going to be a pure mage, and I ended up just bagging on that character and restarting with a blade specialization.
Yeah, I found myself running into the same problem early on, especially in like when I was trying to close my first Oblivion gate, and I have a guy's like just charging me out of nowhere. Like the only thing you do is like just basically do a sneak attack and try to do as much damage on that first hit as possible, and then just.
Well, yeah, I mean there are other ways too. I mean, you could start preparing poisons that just drain their fatigue,
over
encumber them and stuff. But those are definitely the more sort of labor-intensive routes to go. So, I mean, theoretically, yeah, you prepare something that over-encumbers them to the point where they can barely move, and then you just sit there and hit them with your arrows. And you're going to have to prepare a number of different types of arrows to do this to multiple enemies when there are more than one. But it's just not the same. I think most people go in and do what you did. They say, hey, this first shot seems clear to me. I'm going to get that. And after that point, then I'm just going to use my dagger on them and hope something.
And isn't that what you would do in real life anyway? I mean,
look
at me like I'm.
Is that what you would do in real life?
if I'm in a cave with an imp, right, in real life.
Yes.
And I shoot him with an arrow, a surprise attack, and then he's down on the ground. Am I going to keep reloading arrows and shooting him with an arrow? No, I'm going to take out a dagger, a knife, or a club and hit him.
That's true, though. Eventually, you do, as you power up in archery, and this goes for magic, too, you get to the mastery, and you will actually paralyze him with that first hit sneak attack.
Right.
So that alone will start to drop him. So I think it's there, but yeah, you're right. It's not. It's
just part of the realism of the game. You wouldn't be standing over an imp in real life.
Well, yeah, you don't have time.
Right, with an arrow, shooting arrows at him from a foot away.
Let's take him.
You beat him with the bow.
The green arrow would do it.
He'd pull out his boxing glove arrow.
Ooh,
and
would green arrow do it?
What would he do?
What would he do, Ryan?
He'd pull out his bow and start whacking on the thing.
With the bow. There we have it.
Okay, that's the definitive answer.
Okay, so I think we can move on. Darren, you're the man with the agenda.
Well,
we're still on Oblivion, so.
Well, actually, yeah, this isn't too far off Oblivion, man. Microtransactions. Yesterday, they announced that you can I guess, either buy a Big Mac or you can buy some shiny armor for your horse.
They didn't actually offer the Big Mac.
No, there's no Big
Mac.
That's
what we're saying.
Yeah.
You could spend your money buying their armor, horse armor, or you could save that money and go to McDonald's.
Exactly.
Just clarifying.
Right.
Wow, Bethesda has a McDonald's offer.
Coupon in each
exactly, in each box.
Redeemable for one.
Yeah, so what do we think about that?
We were just talking about it yesterday, and I kind of agree with Sean on this, that it just seems in a single player game, especially if it's an item that doesn't really add anything to the value. I mean, what's stopping me from just downloading a mod or some kind of somebody creates a skin for it that says the same thing?
Right. We're in such a different space from the console guys on this count, and it really shows. Say, for example, 1UP's coverage of this, their news report said, at a very reasonable $2.50, you can purchase some armor for your horse. And for one, it stopped me, and I was like, well, how are we at a point where we have any frame of reference to determine what's reasonable or what's not reasonable in terms of buying a specific item? Mm-hmm. And then especially maybe for a console guy, that seems fine. But for us, like Darren says, we're used to getting all these, you know, people making armor, make a dragon that we can ride in the game, you know. And then also, and then also in terms of other games where we're used to getting free maps and stuff, and this is happening with Battlefield 2 right now with the Euroforce, mm-hmm. where they're basically charging you money for extra maps when we're so used to Unreal 2000, the last one that was out. I mean, to give you a map pack with 20 maps for free, and we're getting to a point where they're charging for that, and now with Oblivion, we're getting to the point where they're starting to charge for, they're trying to charge for things we're used to getting for free.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we have a lot of built-in resistance.
Is it just that horse armor? Is that all they're offering?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's more than that, is it?
That's it right now.
For now.
But it's clear. It's kind of like here's the get you in the door, and we'll see like how people respond to this, and if it does well, you can count on. I mean, that's the perfect game. If people buy that in numbers, it's probably takes them 10 minutes to create the asset for it.
Well, let me ask an ignorant question here. Is it's not possible for mods to be distributed over the Xbox 360, right? Is
not
that
yet.
Completely controlled by Microsoft?
Yes.
Okay. But so somebody could not create that for Xbox 360.
No. Right. I mean, it makes sense in that venue, but, I mean, if they made it a really compelling new thing that really added a lot to the game or created like a flying dragon or something like that, or some kind of, like, cool creature that you wouldn't be able to mount or whatever.
Well, look at it this way. Like, say, okay, so it's $2 for that. Now, what if they said, hey, we've got this booster pack, and it's got three types of horse armor, and it's got two colors of pants, and you get all this for $10.
For the horse?
And as soon as you start making it more money, it's like, you know, paradoxically, as soon as you say, hey, for $15 you get all this, then the absurdity of it's sort of revealed, exposed, because you're like, I
totally.
Can get an expansion pack. For Morrowind, I could get a game that would let me become a werewolf. Now all I get is some pants.
You know, horse armor seems so random, too.
Right.
Of all the things I could have added, armor for your horse?
What are you going to do with it? You can't fight on the damn thing. You run away, and it takes damage.
You know what my horse did yesterday that was weird? Has this happened to you? My horse aggroed a bandit on the road. Have you ever seen that happen?
Yeah. Were you on?
I was off the horse picking flowers. Like
yeah,
I'm
they'll do that.
To do. And the horse aggroed a bandit, and then the bandit ran away because the horse did so much damage to it. And then my horse chased after the bandit.
Yeah, they'll
do
that.
So in the game, a bandit's running down the road. My horse is running after it, and I'm running after the horse.
I had this same thing where I got off to pick some flowers.
Yeah.
To make some spells.
Yeah.
But a wolf came by and started chasing the horse, and then so the same thing. You're chasing a wolf that's chasing your horse, but of course your horse could be worth $1,000 or more in the game money.
And I really needed a command to tell my horse to get the hell back.
Yeah.
You know, stop chasing the bandit.
Now, I have a question for you guys with all this stuff. What type of benefit would the, you know, as you were saying with the horse armor and all these little, you know, moddy things that you're going to pick up, is it going to give gameplay benefit?
No. I mean,
well, not the horse armor.
Well, it will in that case.
I guess
because
it'll keep your horse
alive. Has stats for defense and for attack, and those carry on to not when you're fighting on horseback, which to my knowledge you can't do, but when your horse is chasing bandits.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is if you're running cross country and you're in a hurry and you're not taking the right path and just jumping everything and making leaps, your horse is going to start to lose health. So it'll help that way. But I mean, realistically, not really. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
Your horses are expendable. The thing dies, just go steal another one. Or
like I just got a mod that I downloaded that was just to make my horse run much, much faster. Like that's more useful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just to speed up the time
so
of
travel.
So you
can hit those loading times three times as
rapid. So yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I guess the possibilities there are good, right? But again, we're used to it getting it all free.
Yeah, and I think Sean brought it up earlier, but I think that Epic is one of the companies that does a fantastic job of supporting their product after the fact. In their last pack, they not only did they have like 20 maps, but they also added new classes, new vehicles, new races, stuff like that. So, I mean...
On the other hand, I guess it's easy enough for us to say, because we do play on the PC, and we have got this for forever, but for console players, I guess... You know, this is kind of a cool new thing, right?
Right.
That they can get new content.
And we can't really blame Bethesda so far because no one's forcing us to get this.
Right.
And in addition, it's not really radically changing the, you know, you're saying it doesn't do much. But on the other hand, if it really did a lot, we'd be upset that we felt compelled to buy it. So
True.
It's nothing so major that we're really going to miss out. But if you want it, hey, you can get it. And so, I mean, I guess in that sense, yes, if people want to spend their money, then, you know, that's how it should work.
Mm-hmm. I want a mini map.
That would be handy.
Kind of pisses me off. I have to keep hitting tab.
They expect you to have the poster on your wall right now.
Who says I don't?
Yeah, but in dungeons, that would be pretty handy, though.
Yeah. Right.
Next on the agenda.
Next up, well, I just read this on the news this morning. Uwe Boll and StarCraft. Have you guys heard this
Wait,
yet?
Wait, how did you... That's how you say that dude's name?
Yeah, that's how I just realized.
Uwe?
It totally removes all my jokes of what would you bowl do.
Do Uwe
do,
bowl.
Do you bowl.
Do you bowl. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Uwe?
I can believe that's how it's... Uh-oh. Yeah, I believe that's how it's pronounced.
Huh. Wow. That makes him slightly cooler.
Okay, so what's his rad news today?
So apparently, I think this was from AOL Games. They kind of said that he is... got the rights to do a StarCraft trilogy, so we can totally...
Awesome.
Yes, so I can't wait to see that film.
Okay, so let's cast it on the fly right now.
Okay.
Steve Buscemi as one of the Zergs.
Burt Reynolds?
Burt Reynolds? As who?
I don't know. He was in...
As himself.
That Dungeon Siege.
As himself.
That Dungeon Siege movie.
And Burt Reynolds.
And Burt Reynolds. Carrot Top.
Carrot Top. Carrot Top could be... what was her name? Kerrigan?
Yeah.
That's what I was expecting. This is sounding great so far. So far we have Carrot Top, Steve Buscemi, and Burt Reynolds as himself.
You know,
CW,
you know how much
version of the StarCraft
money this
movie
could make in Korea, though?
Oh, yeah, the StarCraft. Oh, like you wouldn't be in line, too. Actually, you don't play StarCraft. StarCraft could be a good movie. Uwe.
I was going to say. Well, I hope they I hope Christian Slater and Tara Reid also make an appearance.
Right. Right. Well,
Gary Coleman.
Yeah,
is that enough on the Uwe Boll?
I think we pretty much covered
movie?
That one. I weep silently right now for that.
You
for
know,
that
don't movie. Can't Blizzard just put the kibosh on that thing? Or is this being Blizzard didn't like okay this, did they?
I don't know the full story.
I can't believe it.
Well, they're going to have to
show
if he has the
at.
Rights to it. They have to have.
But Blizzard is so controlling about their content. I can't believe they'd give the rights to that guy. Right?
Unless the check was right.
Nah, I think that...
Do they need money?
I seriously doubt
that.
They
have 6 million people paying $14.95 a month to be gnomes.
U-Bowl is determined to get the gold, and if it means renting a backhoe to uproot that tree, he's going to do it.
That's Uwe to you, mister. Okay.
All right. There you go. That ran
its course. Silence reigns.
Wow. You know, this could be the last podcast, I'm thinking.
Party's over.
You're going to have that one guy that writes in to say that this was the best yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the chaos at the beginning to this insanity.
Right. Actually, speaking of writing in, that is one thing we wanted to mention here. We want to hear from you. Yeah, you. We want to hear from you. And we'll read your questions online here. Or online?
Yeah, sure.
On air.
Yeah.
On air. What, here at the CGW podcast, if you have a question or a comment, what you should do is send an email to CGW letters. That's all one word. CGW letters at ziff davis.com and put podcast in the header And if your question is, you know, dumb enough, we'll probably read it on air. And actually, specifically, what is it we want to do, Darren?
I think we want to start a new segment called Ask Ryan. So pose any questions, love advice, anything you think of.
Doesn't need to be gaming related.
Because
Ryan's here for you.
Because, Ryan, I love you, and I want to have your baby. And I want to
oh, God.
And I want people to you to answer their questions.
And we want other people to want to have Ryan's baby.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just when we're talking about salvaging this specific podcast, it takes a turn for the fecal.
Yep. CGW, mailing it in one step at a time.
So if you have a question for Ryan, our inimitable reviews editor, send it to cgwletters@ziffdavis.com.
So I have a question for you guys, just to throw something out there. What is coming up that you think will be a surprise, or what have you seen in the last, like, 3 months that the games were like, oh, this is actually cool?
Well, I guess E3 is usually the place where all that stuff kind of comes about, where you see all the games that we're looking forward to seeing. And we are in the middle of working on our E3 scouting report for the June issue, which comes out in May. So it's kind of like, there is some things that we're looking forward to seeing. I don't know if we're able to talk about them. You know, can't break NDAs just yet.
Yeah, I think what Darren's telling you, Scott, is buy our issue.
Well, suck it up. Yeah.
Well, some of the stuff, yeah, we can't, hasn't been announced yet, and we get the early look because the long lead time for the magazine, so we won't be able to talk about it yet. But other things, and we did see Randy Pitchford, president of
Gearbox
came in with Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway. This is sort of the third Brothers in Arms, and it's running on Unreal Engine 3. And that's looking really good.
It looks
looking
awesome.
Really promising.
I think we better say Hex Highway on this podcast.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Hex High, PP soaked Heck Hole Highway.
Leap.
So you said shit last week.
I did?
Yes.
All right. We're
and
good.
I guess you just said it right now.
And
didn't
I just
you?
Said it right now. So
great.
Whatever.
You just
shit
said
storm
shit.
On Hell's
yeah.
Highway.
Great.
As long as you don't drop an F bomb.
No F bombs.
Just don't go there. So anything else that we can talk about?
What can we talk about?
Well, there's things we saw that people know exist that we think look cool that we were sort of surprised by, like Warhammer Online.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's a shameless plug for our May issue, which is always good. Yeah, Warhammer Online, to be honest with you, that's a game I'm looking forward to playing when it comes out. I mean, dare say that it might even be like the game I graduate to after WoW, because it's all about the war,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, like, you know, farming and crap.
Mm-hmm.
Flower pick. Did a big story on Hellgate.
Yes, I did.
This is how many? This is two E3s for that game, right?
Yeah. The first game was kind of first revealed just before E3 last year. And they say they're going to be ready, hopefully, for the fall. We'll see.
So what games are going to make their, like, multiple appearances at E3? Like, what are the winners of the...
Stalker.
Stalker.
Yeah.
Definitely coming back for, was it the third or fourth time they've been there?
Yeah. Hmm. Wait, were they even there last year? Did they show Stalker?
Probably on, like, one screen or something.
Yeah. Oh, you know what looked good at GDC, which I'm really looking forward to seeing at E3, is Crysis. That
yeah.
That looked awesome.
People were really, like, that was, like, to the talk of the floor at GDC.
Mm-hmm.
That and Cell Factor. I don't know how much of a game that is at this point. I think I mentioned it last week. I hope that comes along
right.
pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Sam and Max, they're going to be showing that at E3.
Looking for yeah, hope. I'm just so glad that game is finally coming out.
Sam and Max.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when they first tried to bring it back, when it was at LucasArts and it wasn't Steve Purcell. Remember that?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the Xbox
crappy.
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
That looked crappy. Now it seems like it's in the right hands, and I'm excited. Can't you tell?
Well, it has the pedigree. Like, a lot of those guys are former LucasArts guys that really
yeah.
were, you know, part of that whole era.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I mean, have you noticed, like, it seems like lately that kind of the pendulum is swinging back towards single-player RPGs, you know, thanks to games like Oblivion, but also, like, adventure games coming back, too, but more evolved.
Kind of. I mean,
not as big as it used to be, of course. But
yeah. I'd say it's a pretty minor pendulum swing, right? I mean, it's one game so far.
But then you have, like, you know... I don't know. There's other stuff on the way, like Dark Messiah.
Gothic 3 is... Gothic 3 right now.
That looks really good. Yeah.
Because of the success. They actually look really similar just in terms of, you know, natural environments and whatnot.
I hate to keep bringing this back to Oblivion, but somebody needs to do, like, a graduate study on how this game... How the heck did this game become so popular? The New York Times just did an article on it. The San Francisco Chronicle this morning gave it a total rave review. Like, this game would not so not have got mainstream attention years ago. I mean, none of the Elder Scrolls games did before. This is like the geekiest single-player RPG, but why is everybody playing this game? And why would it, something like the New York Times care?
Maybe it's because it's a vast world, but it's also easy to interact with, and it's not like... I mean, while there is a tutorial and you can kind of read the instruction manual, you really, you don't need it, I don't feel like.
Well, what's the difference between, you know, the past games and Oblivion?
Well, the past games were all die-rolling, weren't they? For the most part.
This is deja vu. Didn't we talk about this before?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
see, we're out of topics.
Because I have my whole thesis on the prominence, I mean, how important it is that is one of the 360's first officially next-gen looking games.
Right. Yeah, that's part
and
of
actually,
that.
Actually, that's how the Chronicle wrote that whole article.
I mean, Bethesda, another thing, too, is they were really wise in that each day they were just, you know, here's another screen, and keeping people coming back every day, making sure that on forums every day there was a new thread started about it. Mm-hmm. So you'd go to any message board. I mean, obviously, you know, New York Times, you don't go from message boards to New York Times, but in terms of the big picture, in terms of, you know, it starting fire and spreading. I mean, I think they actually did a good job in the way that they marketed and promoted that game. So I think a number of things.
Yeah.
So basically, they teased their audience for a very long time and did it right.
And regularly. Yeah. So a new movie every day, a new screen every day, in the kind of way that was, you know, really conducive to sort of viral, you know, spreading of that same sort of thing. I'm waiting. I've seen it happen before. I mean, this is game related, but Sony actually created an animated GIF that could be pasted into forms and signatures and stuff. And I was surprised. As soon as I saw that, I thought that was genius. And what it was explaining and demonstrating why their much maligned boomerang controller is actually, you know, ergonomically sound. But that thing was everywhere within a day as soon as that came out. And it's like you didn't know if Sony made it or a fan made it, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm waiting to see stuff like that, too. I mean, it seems like a fantastic way to spread messages about your product. And as much as I...
It's kind of like the next wave of
marketing, but yeah, it's a pretty effective thing.
So basically, the next wave of viral marketing is just kind of like immediately just infuse it on the web and throw it out there as many times as possible.
Like, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like free ad space, animated GIF, like over and over again everywhere.
Right.
So other games we're looking forward to?
It's the WoW expansion.
Burning Crusade, sure. But that won't come out till 2009. That's not official.
That just seems insane to me that it took so long for an expansion to come out for that game. That's taking so long for an expansion to come out.
Well, I mean, first of all, why should they rush? Everybody's is still paying them all their money. You know, second, I mean, Blizzard just takes this long with everything they ever do. You know, this is not unusual for them. You know, I don't think you're... I mean, right now is when I feel... they need to start getting serious, because you can still... Now it seems there's like this mass of people starting to get burnt out on it. But not until now, and really not till Oblivion, did it seem like there was any need for them to step it up a little.
Yeah, up until now they've had some you know, pretty significant updates, like the Battlegrounds and such. I mean, that was
right,
all
and
like
then
after.
There's the patches, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't even play the game.
I'm just asking. Now it happens everywhere, because I'm thinking in similar terms at Valve. We're coming up on a year from when we did our Aftermath cover.
Yeah.
We were talking about it coming out in 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, the thought was there. They thought about it in 3 months.
Yeah, they thought about Team Fortress 2, too. I'm just saying.
It'll happen. You've seen all the stuff in that the modders have been pulling out of their SDK, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it's true, but... there's definitely, unless it's a deliberately placed red herring, there's a lot of info in there about Team Fortress 2 that would indicate that at least some work's being done on it. And as opposed to the military-looking game that was, you know, at E3 so many moons ago.
God, that was,
98, 99?
I think so, yeah.
But now it sounds like, you know, it's set in the Half-Life 2 mythos where you have striders that you can control and all these other sorts of things.
Oh, that's right, because it was Half-Life 1, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
That's crazy.
Times, they are changing.
Hopefully we'll know more about that soon. Not at E3, but...
Are they not showing Team Fortress 2?
No.
They're not showing anything right now. Even in terms of, you know, what are they publishing? At least that's the official line from them right now. You know, what are you showing? And absolutely nothing. But that also... I mean, that's in keeping with the way they do things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're keeping their their stuff, the cards close to the vest, especially through E3. And to be honest with you, I think it makes sense because these days, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like there's so much noise happening at E3. Like your message often gets lost, so it's almost a better idea to wait until after E3 or before E3 almost to like.
Right. I think that's true. And then it seems interesting with them too. It's like almost after their last big E3 when they had their demo prior to Half-Life 2 coming out, and then they had the blast back when everyone started saying, hey, you guys kind of lied about the AI, that wasn't actually dynamic that we saw in that demo and this. So I don't know if it's a response to that, like, hey, we're just not going to show any more stuff to have that sort of situation come, or just in general Valve has like kind of created their own place where they really don't, they're sort of outside of the normal stream of things. They just connect directly to, you know, their user base through their own sites and stuff. Yeah, so they don't need the press.
They don't need publishers anymore. They can just do their own thing.
Now that they don't need us, we like them better.
I think it's great for them. I mean, in some ways, it's fantastic for them.
It's the future, I think.
I mean, it's so much better than getting, you know, the press release with the manufactured terms about this or that, and then, you know, coverage everywhere. But we went to this event, which really all it turns out to be is just a big, you know, marketing fiesta.
Right, but at least you get free food.
And then it's kind of, they surprise you. So, you know, you turn on Steam and one day all of a sudden there's something there. You know, all of a sudden you've got something that's ready to play that day. And
a virus.
Yeah, that's not the good.
Just kidding.
Yeah, actually, who's ever gotten a virus off Steam?
No, I'm just kidding. I uninstalled Steam, so I can't get anything from them.
Oh, quick update from the virus to Star Force. We just noticed the other day on Ubisoft... it's publishing Capcom's PS2 games for PC, so Onimusha 3 is one of them. But you look on the box, and there's actually a warning now about their copyright protection.
Oh, that's right.
Software.
So it's kind of like a Surgeon General's warning now, basically.
Yeah.
That's
so
killing me, man.
They got to the point where they just say that, yeah, this could cause some issues if you've got, you know, CDR, DVD.
They have got to get rid of Star Force. They just got to get rid of it. I don't want to play Heroes of Might and Magic 5 now.
And you know what?
Because of Star Force.
The thing is, it's not just Star Force, though. I mean, like, you know, Securom is just, you know, is equally bad. I mean, like, all these security, you know, protocols they're trying to use, in one way or another, they're just kind of like, you know, installing, embedding themselves in your system and causing you to have to
reset. Bethesda thought it was good enough to just give you Oblivion without any copy protection software. Once again,
not even an access key.
There's nothing, right?
You just put the disc in and install it.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it has a CD key lookup, so you need the copy of the disc to play it, but that's it, right?
And everybody's buying the game, you know? They're not seeing rampant piracy. And I mean, I'm sure there is. But.
And there's Galactic Civ, too. I mean, like, that's no copy protection at all, either. And people are still sucking that up by the truckload.
I mean, it's difficult, because clearly piracy is a huge matter for PC games.
Well,
I mean,
sure.
If those games don't get pirated, I'm sure a lot of stuff, like... you know, Godfather does.
Yeah.
Especially game. I think probably people are more inclined to pirate games that they're not 100% sure on. You know, they're even bigger cheapskates and rotten about it. But at the same time, it's like when that's our only solution.
But how many people at this table were listening to the new Flaming Lips CD, which came out today? How many of us here were listening to it last week?
I'm raising my hand right now, but I bought
the
disc.
Somewhere.
But I bought the disc.
I bought it too. I bought it. After I had already heard it for free, though.
Right. But
I think
there's a difference there. You hear it for free, and you listen to it, and it's like, hey, this is really cool. I remember back in the day listening to radio, when radio stations like, okay, get your tape recorders ready. We're going to play the entire album for you.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and... but most of the time, we're still going out, and we're still picking up whatever album it is.
Right. Well, you know, iTunes, in the case of the Flaming Lips, made it worth it to me by adding 4 bonus tracks. So even though the free one was floating around last week, I was still incentivized to buy it. And the fact is, even without the bonus tracks, I might have bought it anyway, just because.
Well, the problem that I have with getting stuff from iTunes is the fact that I don't have the physical case in front of me where I can look at the liner notes, which is something, and the lyrics and stuff like that, which is something that I like to do.
I'm kind of getting over that, I have to admit. I'm kind of losing.
I'm way over that.
I'm buried in discs. I gotta cut bait on that stuff.
Yeah. Like at this point now, like a CD tower to me in my house is kind of like if you go to someone's place and they got crates of old ass Bee Gees albums and stuff.
Or 8-tracks of Foghat.
Like, yeah, I don't even want that stuff anymore.
Wow, we went way off topic now.
We
didn't
did.
We?
Yeah. Sorry, it's still connected because the Flaming Lips are on the soundtrack for
Stubbs the Zombie.
For Stubbs the Zombie.
Still gaming.
That's a game. So we're right back.
So bam, right back.
I'll tell you one old man thing though, just because I thought it was funny. My daughter, who's 12, actually found I have like 400 LPs from back in the old day, and she found one of my albums, and she had no idea what it was. She like took it out of she took it out of the thing, and she goes, "What is this black plastic thing?"
It's a frisbee.
Yeah, that's called vinyl.
That's
dear.
Music,
that's,
honey.
That's pretty insane, right
It makes a funny sound when I crack it.
Yeah, someday that's going to be CDs.
Yep.
Yeah. It's already halfway there, I think. All right. We're getting the wrap
and
it up.
And it also goes back to, because we're in the same sort of thing with games, too. I mean, not to push it too hard, but digital distribution.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm all for getting games digitally. I mean, there's that the people that want that hardcore copy. But say, for example, with Steam, it hasn't been a problem for me. I've got Half-Life 2 running on at least three or four different computers, you know, or as I've upgraded over the years, and it's not been a problem. I mean, say, for example, if they go out of business or something, it could become an issue at a point. But I think by the time that happens, I probably won't want to play it anymore.
Yeah.
And then, like, the box doesn't matter. It's like, I mean, some people want that Oblivion box to hang up that poster on their wall. So, you know, that's your mini map.
They can give me the PDF.
I throw out the box first thing.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, that stuff's just more clutter.
I think the reason why Steam works so well is because it's just tied to your account. And whatever, you know, wherever you are, you can download a game and play it as long as you log in with that account. And
that's, I mean, for us too. I mean, when you're upgrading and changing computers
all
lot,
the time,
I mean, that's
yeah.
huge. It's like, it's first thing is soon, all you got to do is get Steam, and then boom, I've got, you know, six more games on that computer already without a bunch of install codes and this and that.
Now, if only they had a more complete collection of all the mods I could just download through Steam directly.
You can, it's closer now. I mean, you can browse mods through Steam, and the link will send you right there. So it's getting there. It's definitely been changing. If we got to pay attention to it. If you look at every month, they add something. They got the friends list working again now, and I think they're.
But I wish they just created like a mods tab, and you could just kind of like sift through, and like they could have all the finished or near finished mods that are pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. If Oblivion had something like that, it would be cool too. I mean, where if the developers are just like, here are hand picked, you know, each week, here are our top five mods, and you just press this button and. Mm-hmm. Here you go.
Idea for magazine.
But they're not going to do that when they could charge $2 for the horse armor.
I'm going to go order mine now. So I think one further game we could play weekly is a Ryan Scott word count. How many words did he speak this week?
I that'll be starting next week.
Go back and count.
Yeah, so listeners go in and go, okay, now the squeaky little voice did this much.
And what do they get?
Yeah.
Horse armor.
Horse armor or something off my desk.
I'll send a free copy of Oblivion to whoever gets it right this week.
Excellent.
Just to try, Ryan, last time we talked, you were still playing a lot of Guild Wars. Are you done? Are you past that now, or are you still playing?
I'm off and on. I'm off right now.
You were soloing Guild Wars when I left.
Which is pretty
specific.
Hardcore.
Yeah, which is pretty hardcore. Let's talk about that.
What's wrong with soloing?
I think you can't. Isn't that normal? Is that not normal?
I don't know. I mean, to take an MMO, or I mean, if we could debate if it's a true MMO or not, but to take a fundamentally multiplayer game and say, I'm going in here on my own. I mean, that's a pretty big step for a lot of people.
I'm going to drag some NPCs along with me and see how far I get. That's it.
Like, I mean, there's always this thing where, like, the group of people I play with will, like, if someone comes, it's like coming out of the closet to admit that you soloed one of those games. I mean, it's like saying you were just desperate to
I've essentially soloed WoW, you know.
Yeah, you do? Okay.
As much as I possibly can.
Yeah?
Well, sometimes you want to like playing with other people.
Sometimes people are jackasses, and like you're in the middle of a dungeon, and like you're 5 hours in, and all of a sudden like some dude has to leave, go to the bathroom, whatever, have a life, and here I am with no life. I want to finish the damn dungeon, but if I don't have my other teammates with me, I'm screwed.
Well, I like playing with people I know.
Right.
I don't like getting groups with complete strangers.
Yeah, I've never partied up with random people.
Well, that's more with the deal.
Yeah.
Well, the trick is finding those right friends, and if you can't find them at the time,
or
you still want to
have any.
Yeah.
Or in my case.
Because that's a weird thing. It's like game guilt is almost like this thing that I've got where, like, sometimes I can play Battlefield all night, turn it off, and I feel fine. But, like, if I play Oblivion for, you know, whatever, like 4 hours, and I turn it off, and it's like I sort of disconnect from that game world, I start to feel guilty. Like, man, what was I doing? Or same thing. That's what I was wondering. The same way with Guild Wars. I play that too much. And so,
you mean like you could have been writing your novel or
was just
doing something constructive with your life? Or
yeah, I mean, because I guess when there's a degree of socialization there, I feel like, all right, that's a normal fundamental human activity. So I'm not too far down the rabbit hole, you know, just even though we're talking about dwarves and stuff like that. But then when you're in there for that long on your own, you realize, I mean, I was completely immersed. If the phone rang, I wasn't answering it. If any of these things happened, it didn't matter. I was like,
but how would that be different than watching TV by yourself or doing Sudoku puzzles or even reading a fantasy novel or something?
Maybe it's my own neurosis then. I'm asking to see if you guys ever got that.
Yes, but I don't understand why.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
If I spend the whole Saturday playing a game, I usually feel crappy about myself.
Mm-hmm. That's why your daughter doesn't know about records, man.
Yeah, because I don't hang out with her.
Take her to the antique shop.
I'm too busy playing games to talk to my own daughter.
No, she's playing with you, isn't she?
Yeah, she's in the other room playing WoW. So she's equally antisocial. All right, let's cut this off.
There's, like an ABC, there's an ABC after school special in there somewhere.
Is. We need a therapist next week. Why do we suck, doctor? Okay, we're done. We're done.
Yay.
Yay. We will see y'all next week. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, congratulations to you. Remember, questions for Ryan and the Ryan Scott word count. If you guess correctly, he's going to send you a copy of Oblivion. Are you going to hold yourself to that?
Yeah, just one.
Okay.
First one to write in.
All right. You heard it here.